What up, everybody? Are we having fun yet? So anyway, I got a couple announcements. Number one, I hope everybody has noticed we changed the logo. Mark Ali with his company, Ali Visuals, has created a new logo for us. It's on the website, www.thedavidradleyshow.com, and it's up on Facebook and a couple of other things. I've got to get a few things fixed to get it on some other stuff. So we'll have everything going right and it'll be good. I'm loving it. There are a couple of things that I'm dying to tell people, but I cannot tell y'all until I get confirmation on a couple of things. So once I get the confirmation on it, then I'll be able to announce it to y'all, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I've been updating equipment this week, and I've been like a kid in a candy store working on stuff and doing all kinds of stuff. So I was really happy with these mic booms that we got. They're low profile. I love them. They're awesome. Anyway, some artists we got coming up. Just let y'all know, I got Kate Boytek coming up. I've got Jessica Lynn coming up. I've got, May 1st, we're doing a pajama party. And basically, it's three artist songwriters, and we're going to wear our pajamas, and we're going to hang out on the couch, and they're going to play some music, and we're going to have some fun with that. So I believe it's going to be Taylor Hughes, great friend of the show, Crystal King, also a good friend of the show, and Kenzie Coppin. I can't ever say her name right. She's going to shoot me for that. But anyway, they're going to come up, and we're going to grill some steaks and hang out and drink some wine and do some music for everybody. So this should be fun, I'm hoping. After that, we got Audra McLaughlin is coming in, and the ever so funny, if y'all ain't checked this lady out yet, y'all check her out. Ma Bell. She is hilarious. she just, the way she's a comedian. I mean, that's all you can say. She's just one hell of a funny girl. So look forward to all those shows coming up. We've got a lot more coming up, and today we're going to hang out with Aaron Weatherholt. Aaron, where are you at, man? Is he still in the green room? Where's he at? Get out of the green room, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the crazy show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, like, what's a pajama party? That's in pajama podcast. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's because I do the YouTube stuff too. You know, the video. Okay. I think I haven't made up my mind yet. I might do a live show with that one. I'm not sure. Okay. That's one thing I'm trying to get into more of is basically doing some live shows. So It should be fun.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with streaming, that's for sure.
Man, I tell you what, I've noticed, like, you know, TV, everybody's live streaming their TV stuff, you know? I mean, movies, all kinds of stuff, and the regular news and, like, World News Tonight and all that stuff, I don't think too many people are watching that stuff anymore. They're just rather be able to go on there and pick whatever programming they want and watch that.
Yeah, I've got a friend who tried to start something called the Nashville Loop 10, 12 years ago, and he wanted to stream everything. Like, he wanted to do three camera shots. Like, people were doing it, but one camera stationary. He was doing like a full production thing, and he just couldn't get, you got to have money. You know, you couldn't get all the backing to have it all. And he may still be doing it. I haven't asked him that about for a while, but it's live is where it's at. There's a lot going on live.
Caitlin's letting me know she can hear my fidget thing. Caitlin brung me this thing because I'm always fidgeting with something because before she come in and help him produce the show and everything, I was self-produced. I was doing everything right here.
Uh-huh.
And I had things to do, you know, and now it's like I ain't got nothing to do.
Uh-huh.
I sit here and play with a fidget toy.
It's great, though. Stop it.
That's for all those ASMR people.
Yeah. Well, I think me and my ex-wife, I think, spent a small fortune years ago on the fidget spinners.
Yeah.
For the kids. You know, it was like that was always the one to have a different one, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're a blast.
They were everywhere.
I had fun with them, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to be, I was suggesting it's just kids. Sorry, I didn't mean.
No, you're fine.
You're a big kid. I mean, I'm a big kid, so.
I think the guy out there all the way up till he's probably in his 80s is nothing but a big overgrown kid.
Well.
I mean, all you got to do is open somebody's garage and you'll see what. Well, mine is you walk in the front door and then you see. Because I basically got a TV station and a radio station here.
Uh-huh.
But I do. I got the three camera thing.
Yeah, they say that guys mature or women mature, girls mature quicker than boys. What they tell you, but the only thing wrong with that statement is they're suggesting that we ever mature.
Well. I don't think I'll ever mature. I still think. Julie's going to shoot me. But anyway, I still think somebody farting on somebody's head's hilarious.
Said the fidget toy sounds like a hole punch.
A hole punch? Is that what it sounds like? I didn't know. You the one gave it to me. Making all kinds of little funny things here over here. This thing is actually cool.
The best $6 I ever spent.
Well, you need to buy some more. Buy some more, we'll put a logo on it.
I'm sure you can get custom ones. Just have fidget toys for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. David Bradley Fidgeters.
Yeah, the fidgets.
Yeah. My version of that, I think, is sitting when I'm watching TV, having a guitar in my hands, I end up learning theme songs.
Yeah.
To TV shows.
I think my favorite theme song to a TV show is Dukes of Hazzard.
That's one of my favorites. I think the ultimate sing-along TV theme is the Cheers theme.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play that in front of a crowd,
they don't
sing along, you know you've got a really dead crowd. They're not interested in what you're doing.
Or they're really young.
Well, I'm surprised sometimes some kids know it, and I'm not sure if they know it's from a show. They've just heard it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I don't know. I mean, I think the one I've heard the most, though, believe it or not, is, oh, Lord. I cannot believe I forgot the name of the show.
Friends, I bet.
No, my nerd friends are going to shoot me. Big Bang Theory.
Hmm?
The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah. I can do that one, too.
Yeah.
That's I always say, well, they're godless, but they're hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
You get the whole universe was in a hot dance. I'm just
kidding. Yep, that's it. 8 seconds.
They have a whole version of that. There's a whole version of the Cheers theme, too. A full version of that. That's completely.
Yeah.
I think my theory is that's the demo that was pitched to the TV station. And then they just, you know.
Then they finished it.
They writing something different for the first verse or whatever. Yeah. The chorus was genius.
Well, it's like, when they were making, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, Jerry Reed wrote that song and he played it for the director. And the director was kind of like, you know, Jerry Reed couldn't read him, you know. Didn't know if he liked it or not. And, you know, he was sitting there going, well, I can do a rewrite on this. And you know, the director looked at him and said, do not touch a single note that you just wrote, you know. And, hell, it became one of Jerry Jerry Reed's biggest freaking song, man.
Oh, yeah, man. He was a monster picker, too.
Oh, yeah. I love watching him play. That's like I was talking to, I can't remember her name. I'm bad with names, dude.
Me too.
But it was one of the girls from Diamond Dixie. And we were talking about, because she plays banjo. And Roy Clark came up. Of course, I brung it up because, I mean, she's young. And she had never really heard Roy Clark play. And I told her, I said, you have got to check him out.
He can play anything with strings.
I believe he can play anything he put his hands on. The man was just phenomenal.
I lost you. There you go. Okay.
I seen one. There was a clip. I found it on YouTube. And he was playing, I can't even remember what song it was. And he had just an acoustic six string, you know, and he was just wearing it out.
Yeah, I grew up watching Hee Haw.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
We're dating ourselves now, you know that.
Oh, of course. Of course. We were like, what is Hee Haw?
Yeah, what is Hee Haw?
You found another, and you was gone. Love it.
You ever see a Hee Haw, Caitlin?
No.
Okay.
I think you asked me that before.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's funny. Pull it up on YouTube. Grandpa, what's for supper? I love that stuff.
Yeah.
So when did you start writing music and doing your own stuff?
Writing.
Yeah.
I think I started writing, like, I don't think I wrote anything worth hearing. Like, I started thinking I could write when I was really young, like 7 or 8 years old, as soon as I could write.
Yeah.
I think it was probably early high school when I found some guys that wanted to be in a band before we started, like, actually writing full songs.
Right. Well, there's a lot of people that I've talked to, and they say around 11, 12 years old. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. It's kind of like a little study that I didn't even know I was doing.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Now, I was into showing off, so to speak, I guess is the way to say it, because they buy these plastic little strings that wouldn't tune, you know, just like a play guitar, right, for when I was or 6 years old. And I saw a video of Kiss, and I think it was Kiss. Paul Stanley smashing a guitar, right? You remember those?
And I'm like, why are you doing that?
Well, yeah, the whole family was over one time, and I got such a reaction. It was like, oh, yeah. So the next time, I smashed a few plastic guitars. Eventually, my grandparents bought me a real guitar, and they're like, you can't smash this one. If you want to learn how to play guitar, you have to learn how to play it. And right. It sat in the closet until I was 11 or 12 years old. So that's pretty good. I think I signed up for a guitar class. I learned a few chords in junior high, and then signed up for a guitar class in the ninth grade.
Well, see, I think it's easier now for these kids to learn how to play guitar because, I mean, you can watch videos of where to put your fingers. You can, I mean, you name it, it's out there on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. YouTube's got all kinds of how-to videos you can learn to do. I mean, anything. I'm doing something around the house. I don't know how to spackle this particular kind of drywall. You can find it. You know,
oh, yeah. Well, there's also another guy out there. I'm not really giving him a shout out. I'm just giving an example. He felt the need to do stuff for young boys that didn't have their dad in their life.
Okay.
He's teaching them how to shave, how to change a tire. I mean, walking through step by step, all on YouTube.
That's interesting. Like stuff you took for granted if you had a good dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
you know, it's like fishing, all that stuff. I mean, he's going down the list, man. He's knocking it out of the park.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's really cool.
So now you got to do one and teach young boys how to play guitar. Or young girls. That's something else I can't get over. It blows my mind, the women out there right now that are just all into the guitar.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of friends that can play me under the table. I mean, they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's wild. Well, I did a show with Nikki Stringfield, and she's got she plays with the Iron Maidens.
Oh, okay.
And
I've seen them before.
Yeah, and she came out with her own album that I cannot pronounce the name of it for some reason. I just Apocrythia or something like that. I can't remember. But she plays the lead and rhythm on it, and her husband, which is also a guitar player, he plays with Lita Ford and her and a bunch of other people. And, dude, that album they put out was fantastic. I loved it.
I had forgotten about the Iron Maidens.
Yeah.
All female Iron Maiden tribute. I remember seeing them and being incredibly impressed. They're bad to the bone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the bass player, dude.
Anybody that's playing Steve Harris parts is going to be good.
Man, I mean, she nails it every show. And I'm just like, holy crap. Because I tried playing bass when I was young.
Okay.
14, 15. And unfortunately for me, I didn't understand the whole concept of start out slow. And I jumped right in to trying to learn Harris's bass line on Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That dumb. There's no way.
Just Triplet City.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy how he plays, man.
Yeah. And if you notice, he's singing every line Bruce Dickinson is singing, too. Because I think he writes a lot of the lyrics.
Yeah. He writes a lot of all their music, really.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing that three-fingered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think it's insane.
It is. I mean, you know, I would love to see Harris and, like, Dana Strong and a bunch of the, you know, the great bass players all in a room together, just everybody jamming out. That would be fun.
Mm. Well, you know who just moved to town like a little over a year ago? Is Billy Sheehan.
Yeah. Billy Sheehan's badass.
Yeah. He's I got to meet him in a thing. Nice guy.
Yeah. Call him, tell him, get on the show.
I didn't get his number. We're not that close. I just got like talked to him for like 30 seconds.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's amazing how many people you can actually run into in this town. I told had a friend on the show, and he's like, "Where do we need to go downtown?" I said, "Just go down there and walk. Don't bother going into a bar. Just walk around. You'll run into somebody."
Yeah.
Just be nice.
Probably on Music Row in Midtown.
Yeah.
So. You're likely to bump into somebody that's you're going to recognize.
Yeah. So many songs you got now?
Ugh. I mean, we just recorded 5 for this new record.
Oh, that's right. You did just put out a new one.
Well, it's not yet. Not yet. The first single will be released on May 31st.
Okay.
We just got that going, and we're waiting on mixes. We got 4 other songs.
Right.
I mean, I've had a couple of the projects for years, and I've got more songs than that are sitting around. I mean, they told you to, when you move to town, they said write 100 songs and then you'll throw them away. You're like, why would I do that? You know, and then you realize you get better and you're like, yeah, because they're terrible, and you've grown as a songwriter.
Yeah, but you don't throw them away. What I tell people is after you've learned and you've grown, pull them back out. redo them.
Hmm.
Make them.
If I was better at keeping records and keeping up with stuff, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got stacks of notebooks. I'm not like audio recordings, though.
No. I was going to say, well, you could just go up here and record, but I'd have to defumigate the house first.
Oh, yeah. Cat allergies are no fun.
Yeah. I know. That's well, we try to ask people, you know, you're not allergic to cats, are you? You know, because so many people are.
I try to remember now. It's like I've been like forgot about it. Been somewhere where you're out on the road and it's a budget. You're not getting paid enough at the show to grab a hotel, and you're like, "Cool, crash with me." And then you forget about it. And you get up there. Oh, we got three cats.
Mm-hmm.
Oops! It's like I'll be sleeping in my car.
Well, I mean, we put the cats up when we've got a show, but as allergic as you are to them,
yeah,
that wouldn't help.
It's all good.
That's why we're doing StreamYard.
That's right. That's right.
Because you're what, down in Dixon or somewhere around in there?
Huh. No. I'm in Antioch.
Antioch. You're over in the jelly side of the world.
Yeah.
I used to live over there off Brantley Drive.
I'm closer to Murfreesboro Road.
Yeah.
Like almost not Antioch.
Yeah.
It's like almost old Dick. Well. I've lived here for quite a while, and it's always been like either between here and Mount Juliet, like that this side of town.
Right.
I'm doing the hand motions towards the map.
Yeah.
Being Nashville here, southeast here.
Dude, I've lived all around Nashville, Smyrna, Lebanon, Murfreesboro. I totally forgot the name. I've worked there, Springfield.
Springfield. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's northeast. Northwest.
Yeah. North. No, northeast. West. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. 24 towards.
I'm not getting. I got discombobulated.
It's all right. I actually lived in your neck of the woods for a very short period of time back when I was playing drums for Myla Mason.
Right.
She let me crash with her and rent a room from her before I moved to Texas. I moved to Texas for like 5 years.
Do you miss it?
I love Texas. Texas, it's like you don't have to even try to find good people. It's just they're just
right.
Fantastic. I love the culture. I mean, I was married to a barrel racer at the time. Yeah. So we're in the cowboy world. I love it down there. The only problem I've had is have a problem with Texas is there's only two seasons. There's summer and Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's hot. It's hot.
I don't know. I've been through there up around Amarillo, and everything was just a sheet of ice.
Well, it must have been Christmas.
No, it wasn't. It was nowhere near Christmas. It was wild. One of them freak nature things. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But when you're driving a truck, the last thing you want to drive on is ice.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. I pulled over and parked.
Yeah, my whole family was truck drivers there for a while. I'm like one of the few guys that probably can't rebuild an engine in my family.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I've rebuilt... I think in my lifetime, I've rebuilt maybe two.
Well, I can hand my dad parts really good.
Yeah.
That's about, I know a whole lot more about vehicles if I'd have paid attention.
Well, just get the Chilton manual and you can go to town with it.
Yeah. I've messed up all kinds of vehicles doing that.
Of course, this day and age, you know how to theft proof a car, don't you?
Hmm.
Buy a 5-speed.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're right about that. You know, they called it standard, right? Yeah. It was, you know, stick shift was called standard because it came standard.
Yeah.
Now you have to pay extra.
Yeah.
If you want a stick shift.
Well, yeah.
It's
like, interesting. Okay, back in the day when, you know, your mom or your grandma went to the store, there was actual organic foods back then, you know, and that was the norm. Now you have to pay extra for organic food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's because it's all chemicals and
genetically
modified. Yeah.
Yeah, the crazy stuff.
Yeah. Lots of toxins. Here you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and you used to buy a side of beef and load up on vegetables and vegetables you grew and your neighbors grew and you know, everybody helped everybody out. They just don't do that no more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got half a cow on the way myself
just
to get better, you know, buddy.
I think I still got about, I think I got about a quarter cow left.
I got a little bit of ground deer meat left in the freezer. I didn't get out this much this season.
I got
some venison left a little bit.
I quit hunting.
That's not my fault.
And it was just because, well, my father passed away in a hunting accident.
Oh my.
And every time I'd go get in the woods, that would resonate with me, you know.
It's terrible.
I just end up packing everything up and coming back to the house.
Mm. You know, I've wanted for years, I'm a board member of an archery club in Huntington. I'm from Huntington, West Virginia, Hermitage. And my buddy's the president. We've talked years now, and we've never quite got it figured out, but I'm going to do a tree stand safety class, like with the harnesses for kids. And like, necessarily just kids, but anybody who wants to learn how to be safer in a tree stand.
Right. Well, see, that was the weird part, because he got up in the tree and he hung his gun up, had the harness around the tree. And before he could get it hooked to his safety harness on his own person, the tree stand broke, and he fell.
Yeah, I mean, that's just bad timing. Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, it sounds like he was doing everything right and just had some bad.
Yeah. I mean, accidents happen. They're going to happen. And like I tell everybody, you know, nobody knows when you're going to go, but when your number's up, your number's up.
Well, yeah, that's the truth.
So live life to the fullest, man.
Absolutely.
You got to.
And I think, you know, everyone wants to understand everything. I think it's an absolute understatement. I use this all the time, though, is we are toddlers reaching for a power outlet, and God is smacking our hand away. And that's about how much we understand about God, you know.
Yeah.
I think that everybody, our arrogant human being selves, want to learn and know everything. And it's just, at some point, you have to, we can't understand everything about someone who can speak things into existence.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. You know, but I was more of the type that I'd be like, he's trying to put that penny in that outlet. And somebody else will be hollering, no, don't do that. And I'd be like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, every once in a while, you let them get shot. Yeah, you learn lessons that way.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
What in the world? Okay. It's crazy. We're Facebook Live and YouTube Live right now, y'all, with Aaron Weatherholt. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Aaron Weatherholt. I've never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Moses' brother, Elvis' middle name.
Okay.
That's what I always tell everybody.
I love it. So what did you think about Anthony Oliver when he came out with his music?
Oh, I dug the song for sure. I mean, I get it's it just speaks to where everybody's at. They're tired of the way things have been.
Right. I applauded him myself.
Oh yeah. I think he's got a good grip on a pretty good handle on. I haven't listened to a ton of his other stuff. I've heard a few things, but that particular song, you know, spells it out pretty good. I like it.
What really made me more interested in him was he actually found out what a venue was trying to charge for ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a stop to that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eddie Vedder did the same thing with Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
I think like 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe longer. Wow. I guess it would have been the 90s.
I don't remember. I mean, you said Eddie Vedder and I reverted back real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Because back in the day, that was something to see.
Yeah, I got to see him on the Lollapalooza tour, like the second or third year, and when he was still jumping out of like off the rafters and
climbing
the crowd. It was crazy. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think I'd be doing that crowd.
Negative, Ghost Rider. Not me.
I'm
too big for that. I mean, you know, I'm 6'3". I'm not jumping in a...
Well, even like David Lee Roth, I ain't jumping off a damn drum riser either. You can forget that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he got some air back then, man. He's like 20 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
I may be wrong.
No, I think he did some. He just knew people would catch him, I guess, or just leap of faith. I don't know. That's a real faith right there. You're putting faith in people.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy how some of that stuff goes. But yeah, I was curious because some of the stuff that I listened of yours is kind of edgy on that side of some of Anthony's stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it.
Not the same, but it's totally different. But, you know, it's your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I was curious about because I dig the guy. I mean, he's still trying to live a normal life.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with what he's trying to do as far as I heard about the ticket sales thing.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, he's just trying to keep people able to come to shows, you know, and you know, it is super important as a performer, to realize when you realize the show's not about you.
Yeah.
When you realize the show's about every person that's out there watching you. That's obviously he gets that, you know, that's a cool thing. When you realize that if you make it about just trying to do what, you know, I mean, obviously not betraying yourself, being yourself as an artist, but giving all you can to whoever's there in front of you, you paid to get to see you,
you know,
it's there to see you, it's paying attention to you. And,
I'm not trying to date us or anything, but I mean, when I was going to concerts, I think the most I paid was like $12.75 for a concert ticket. And
I remember those. I mean, I think $17.50 was there. It might have been a little bit like my first show was like Cinderella.
Yeah.
The Rat. One of the
two. My first show was Nashville Municipal Auditorium. Kiss was coming to town. I believe it was it was the first time they ever played the Municipal Auditorium.
Okay.
And I won tickets off WMAK, I believe it was, back in the day.
Okay.
That's a long time ago, Caitlin. You hadn't even thought about it then.
Huh.
Yeah, I tell people about trying to win tickets on off a radio station using a rotary phone. They can't fathom that.
It's a rotary phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would forget what number I was on when I had to call from my grandmother's. That was the only rotary phone that I had to deal with as a kid. I'd like 743.
Yeah.
3. Wait, where was that? Because you have to wait. You had to wait for it to come back around.
Yeah, that always pissed me off whenever I call them. You'd be like, you're calling 8. And then they hang up on you real quick. And I'm like, just put me on hold and answer again. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, it was just hilarious, some of the stuff we went through to try to win tickets. Do they even do ticket giveaways anymore?
Yes, my aunt wins quite often.
Your aunt does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Evidently, they still give tickets away, so.
It's not a call-in, though, right? You don't have, it's not a.
Yeah.
No, it's a call-in.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yep. It's in Evansville, Indiana. I don't know what radio station that is.
Yeah,
I
can tell them. Well, I'll tell you what, you remember when they give me money to say what radio station they are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Memorize those call letters.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think you get a whole list of them and you get paid by the list.
Oh, you talking about if you're just doing.
Yeah, just doing the reach.
Doing phoners. Yeah. Nope. I've only done those in the radios. I never had to do a list. I never was that fortunate. I've never been that big of a deal. No. I'll do it when I'm at the station for, you know, a couple that I do a couple like when I was standing there and then they'd record it. But
yeah, I've never done one. So that'd be interesting. WKRP in Cincinnati.
There's another show Caitlin probably has no idea about.
Yep. Dr. Johnny Fever.
That was a funny show.
I loved that show. I watched every one of them.
I don't know if I watched every one of them, but I watched a few of them.
That's what I like about YouTube. You can go back and catch a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Netflix. Believe it or not, I actually started watching because I've watched Suits and a bunch of other. I binge watch is what I do.
Yeah.
And last Sunday, I got done playing with all the new toys that we got here in the studio and everything and got everything worked out. And I sat and I was like, Grey's Anatomy. Heard a lot of good things. Supposedly the McDreamy, you know, and all that stuff. And, I started watching it, and now I'm hooked on it. I'm watching all of them.
Oh, I think I had a girlfriend at one point that watched those that I might got roped into them at one point. I think if I remember correctly, the show kind of went downhill once the guy who plays her husband, I guess, is off the show.
McDreamy?
Yeah, I think eventually they get married.
Yeah, there ain't no telling. Their relationship is all up and down, up and down.
Well, nobody would watch it if it wasn't, I guess, right?
Nah, pretty much. I don't know. I'm on season 3, episode 4, so.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't remember, but you got a long ways to go, I think.
Nah, I don't know. Usually when I get bored with them, then I'll just quit watching them. I'll move on to something else.
Yeah, I watched. I try to keep something like if I'm working around the house, I'll keep a show playing, kind of half watch it. Yeah. I recently finished all the Frasiers.
Those are dude, funny. I loved Frasier.
Yeah, he's Kelsey Grammer is hilarious. And the new one, the new one's pretty good.
I haven't seen the new one.
The new one's good.
I'll check it out.
BB Newworth, Lilith, finally, she makes an appearance for one or two episodes. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. I always liked his voice. His voice was always calming.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, you know. They based around his voice on the radio show. It's
the psychology.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Nothing like a radio shrink. That's an interesting concept right there. I'll just tell you all my problems so the whole world can hear it. Yeah, let's do that. I'm not sure you're going to get an honest diagnosis out of that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, some people try to get an honest diagnosis out of a bartender, so.
Oh, Lord.
So did you get your guitar all tuned in?
Yeah, man. It's here. You want to? That's nothing like, I don't do any bluegrass and stuff. I'm from West Virginia. You'd think
they're the bluegrass boys. Pick.
Oh, I know.
They're wild.
Yeah, I've actually recorded drums on, which is weird to say with bluegrass, Uncle Josh Graves' record.
Yeah.
Had Delbert McClinton on it.
Yeah.
And, who else was on that? Vassar Clemons. Everything keeps going away here. There you go. I got to meet Porter Wagoner. Why does that keep doing that?
I have no clue.
Am I kicking off your screen when that happens?
No.
No? Okay. Cool.
That guitar is loud as I'll get out.
Is it? It's louder than me? Not than the voice?
Over here. This is why I don't like StreamYard. I can't control your audio.
Well, is that any better if I get my voice closer to the mic?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll play the single we're going to release. This song.
That was the one that you just released, or you're about to?
About to.
Okay. About to.
Yeah. I wrote this. It's been sitting around, then wanting to record it, and just hadn't got to it. Finally got some help from Get Joe Records.
Yeah,
we got some good people behind it. And I wrote this after hanging out at a friend's bonfire party thing, and I talked to this guy that was completely opposite of me politically, if there's such a thing, I guess.
Right.
4 or 5 hours we sat there and talked and played a little guitar with each other and had a beer or two and talked. And never once did we scream and yell and act like we hated each other. And it's just like, I just don't understand this mentality of you got to hate someone you disagree with.
Well, I think that's a new age mentality, because back in our day, we used to be able to sit and have a conversation and, you know, hey, this is what I think. And, oh, well, that's what you think, you know. And at the end of the day, you wasn't trying to beat the hell out of each other or anything else. You just had a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand it's like I've watched. There's one particular hearing in 1975. It's called the church hearings, and it had nothing to do with church. That was the congressman or senator or whatever. The head of the committee is last name.
Right.
And the CIA had been caught with blowfish toxin. I don't know if you know anything about blowfish toxin. It's extremely lethal. And they talk about this gun. They had they finally admit that they had a gun that could shoot somebody with this blowfish toxin gun with a dart. They might not even know they've been shot. And it would look like a heart attack on an autopsy. And that's in 1975. And they admitted that on the public congressional hearing. And then he asks the head of the CIA if the CIA is involved in news, Hollywood movies, or television as far as dividing people.
Right.
Or it, well, they didn't see to ask that specifically. But they said, I prefer to answer that in executive hearings. So he just admitted they got a heart attack gun, but they wouldn't say yes or no on if the CIA is involved in news and television.
Right.
So I'm just saying, we need to cut some people some slack that disagree with us. They've been making people disagree with each other for years.
Oh, yeah.
Like planting little, you know, and you can think that's tinfoil hat if you want, but go find the hearing.
Well, I mean, that's why I call a lot of things that go on. I just call it the Great Divide.
Yeah. Well,
it's all
we need to give people grace, you know.
If you can divide, you can conquer.
Oh, yeah, that's Sun Tzu, man. Art of War. Yep. That's thousands of years old.
That's
not a joke either.
It's the truest statement I thought ever made. Mm-hmm. I just think everybody needs to get along and love each other.
Well, and this song is, like I said, I wrote this about 20 minutes. I think I changed one bridge part later. So I really think it's just God gave it to me. I don't want to take the credit. It was really, cool. I wrote it in like 20 minutes, and this is called A Bunker and a Bridge. This is one of the new songs.
Awesome.
Can't afford to be part of this division of race, sex, politics, and religion. But Jesus is love, so some have heard. But I can't recall him forcing anyone to hear his words. I'm building a bunker, I'm building a bridge. I've still got love and friends and family on my fridge. I got a Bible and some bullets in a spot out on the ridge. I'm building a bunker. I'm building a bridge. Well, the chaos and agendas, they just get louder. And we're all sparks, someone spreading powder. So keep your face, stay strong, renew. And stop blaming God for all the awful that people do. I'm building the bunker, I'm building the bridge. I've still got love and friends and family on my fridge. I got a Bible and some bullets and a spot out on the ridge. I'm building the bunker. I'm building the bridge. Well, I'm just one man holding out a hand, searching for some common ground, hoping those fools come around. But I'm ready if something else goes down. I'm building a bunker, I'm building a bridge. I've still got pictures of all my babies on my fridge. But I got a Bible and some bullets and a spot out on the bridge. I'm building a bunker, I'm building a bridge. I'm building a bunker. I'm building a bridge. I'm building a bridge.
All right.
There you go.
I like that one little thing that you're doing with the guitar, with that like a back, how it flips back just a little bit. Yeah,
it's just an off-time little push. I'm not sure where. I just sat down and played it, and it's like, oh, I like that. I mean, I can't even. I'm not even sure why. You know. Thank you very much. Oh, so that's the gist of most of the stuff on this record.
Right.
We've got, there's one song I wrote with Ryan Bashir and Lynn Snow, the president of the label, called My Kind of Hero. Mm-hmm. And it's out. Ryan cut it.
Okay.
It was released a couple years ago, but I re-record. I got my version of it.
Right.
Just because I love that song. It's all about our first responders.
Right.
So,
yeah, my hat goes off first responders.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely. First responders and military. And I'm actually, because of that song, I'm a member of the American Legion now through my grandfather's service, Sons of the Legion, SAL.
Yeah.
It's because a guy that I went to high school with, Rob Dunlap, buddy of mine I played football with, he was I'm not sure what he was at the time, but he's a district commander now.
Right.
And he's you know, reached out about the song. We started talking, and we hadn't talked in years, and we've kept in touch now. And he's, you know, he always books me at the Legion when I go back home. And so I'm a member there now, where my grandpa used to take me when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the reason I thought of that, the first line of My Kind of Hero is American Legion Post 139, which is the post in Milton, West Virginia.
That, yeah.
I used to be taken to by my grandfather.
Yeah.
So
I like all those places because, I mean, they get some good music in there, and vets have a place to go and hang out. And
yeah, you can hear some great stories.
Yeah, you really can. I got a buddy of mine, Chris Turner. I think he's a retired Marine, I believe. Mm-hmm. He'll shoot me if I don't do this right. But anyway, he's gotten hooked up with some people, and they've been doing things where the guys actually go out and listen to the stories of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll help them write a song. And
I've heard of that. Somebody I know does that. I'm not going to remember who it is. Because like you, I'm bad with names.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
But yeah, that's a cool thing. I know we've had wounded warriors out to the bow range, archery range, done things with our club with them.
Right.
So I'm all about, you know, that kind of thing. That's my jam. Our vets get treated terribly.
Yeah, they do.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I was talking to a buddy of mine, you know, and he's like, you know, he's retired military, but they're taking taxes out of his retirement from his military.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that is stupid to me.
Well, don't get me talking.
Well, I mean,
about the IRS.
Look, there's two things that should never, ever, ever be taxed. And that is retirement pay for our veterans and Social Security.
Yep.
It should never, ever be taxed.
We take money that we pay taxes on to buy land that we didn't pay taxes on that we've already paid taxes on. It's just so redundant. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And it's technically constitutionally illegal, but
And see, this is why I don't really discuss politics on the show.
I know. It's
dude, I'd have to start a whole nother
so
podcast.
Deep, man. It's a deep hole.
I mean, I can run down some rabbit trails on this shit all night long.
I know, man. Me too.
But I don't care who you are, and I don't care your position on it.
Well, it's like I said.
I treat you like a human being, and if you needed my help, I'd be there and change that tire for you.
Absolutely. It's we just got to be able to cut people some slack.
Yeah.
You know, understand their perspective.
All right, so we're going to flip script. Yeah, I'm going to throw this at you.
All right.
How in the hell did you meet Billy Hester?
Ha-ha! I've known Billy so long, I might have to give that some thought.
I worked with him for a year.
I think, I'm pretty sure Marshall, I got, we the first time me and Billy wrote together was with another buddy that I'm still one of my best friends, Marshall Sanford.
Right.
And I think Marshall knew Billy and brought him in, and we wrote one of the best songs we've ever written that day, the day we all met, or the day that I met Billy.
Oh, that was when it was all still fresh.
Yeah, so. It was right before everybody was writing the "Do It in Your Truck" song, and we did it. We wrote this song called "Once Upon a Chevy."
Yeah,
and it's a cool song.
Awesome. Song. Yeah, I worked with him for a year over there where he's at now. And and you know, we talk every morning and all that stuff. Every now and then he bring me cookies. But we were standing outside one time talking, and I was telling him what I was thinking about doing with the podcast and all that other stuff, and Billy was a big supporter of it, man.
Billy's a good dude, man.
He is. He really is. I don't know about that grizzly bear looking stuff that he's got growing on his face now.
He's a heck of a singer, too.
Well, see, we got to talking about his background and everything else, and I'm like, dude, you got to be on the show, man. And he's like, oh, no, no, no. And I'm like, come on.
I mean, you don't like,
then he's like, well, you know who you need on your show? And I'm like, who? My buddy Aaron. You need him on your show. I'm like, okay. So hook it up.
Yeah. He's a singing fool and a writing man. He's a great songwriter.
Well, he's got his boy now playing guitar and stuff.
Yeah. I've heard Pearson's quite the player.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And one thing I loved was, you know, he was telling me that he was actually starting to write some of his own stuff. And, you know, he's going down that path of what could be really good for him.
I think he's like shredding like metal stuff. If I remember correctly. I don't know. I remember him playing me, or I was on the phone with him. I don't remember. I'm so bad with that. I've slept since then.
Yeah.
But I think I remember was just like, I heard him of just like doing this crazy stuff I've never been able to do.
That's what I was talking about, you know, earlier. I mean, it's like, you know, Van Halen opened up so many freaking doors. Eddie did all the stuff that he did. And I've seen guys and girls, they're just like taking it next level stuff, you know, and it's, I'm just like blown away with the musicianship of a lot of these new people coming out. I mean, it's like, there's no way in hell I could ever get my fingers to bend like that.
Yeah. What makes me like, you know, that moment, that millisecond of give up, you know, or whatever, or just go practice, whatever, is those guys that are playing rhythm and a lead and percussion at the same time on one instrument. And they're finger tapping. He's playing a bass line here. He's tapping at a melody. And then with his thumb and his pinky, he's doing it all at the same time.
Dude, I have a hard enough time walking and talking.
Yeah. That's some real focus or just natural ability. I don't know. Yeah. I can't do that.
Well, I mean, you go back in. Andy Griffith show.
Okay.
Remember the Darlings? Whenever they would come on there and they would play, you know, the old man had the jug and all of them picking and the bass and all that stuff.
I've watched a lot of Andy Griffith, but to be honest, it all just runs. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember people that would come on the show and sing.
Yeah. You know. And then, you know, Lord, I can't remember her name. It was the young blonde, I think it was the daughter of Mr. Darling or whatever, and she would sing some songs, and all the darlings were playing, and it was just like, dude, you just sit there and tap your foot.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing.
They didn't have any tuning back then. They didn't have digital tuners fixing your voice.
No.
They're just,
it was raw.
Yeah. It's good stuff. You know,
and it was just, it was crazy. Amazing, really. I mean, you know, Andy Griffith was a hell of a guitarist himself.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we could sit here and talk all night about freaking past guitarists.
Oh, I know. That's for sure.
You know, I've never heard Billy play, though.
Really?
I've never heard nothing he's done.
If I remember correctly, he plays wrong-handed. So I can't never play him his guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Mm.
Like, it's okay with the guitar players, actually. It's drummers. When you come in behind the drummer.
Yeah.
Like downtown, if I'm doing a gig, I'm playing drums, and there's a left-handed drummer. It's like, oh, you have to move everything.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the other side. It's like, man, all the mic cable, you know. Some of them just move like one cymbal. That's like they just learn to play with the right hand and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I tried playing guitar.
Yeah.
Uncle Joe down at the church when I was like 11, 12 years old, I was wanting to play guitar. But I never could get my right hand to strum with what I was supposed to be doing with my left hand. So it was weird. I could never get anything going right. But I've seen some of those guys that you were talking about with the strumming and the rhythm, lead, bass, drums, the whole freaking nine yards right there on one guitar, man.
Mm-hmm.
They just blow me away. I can't believe they're like that.
It's a gift because that's a lot of, I mean, I don't know. I guess you could just practice and do it. I feel like you'd have to have a natural inclination to,
or get a good buzz going on.
Like, yeah, I mean, I just can't, like, I can't even begin to do it.
Yeah.
But like, remember Primus?
Yep.
He did some of that finger tapping on the bass.
Yep.
Like Van Halen. Andy Van Halen gets the credit for all that. I heard there's other people that were
doing, if you watch some of that old Roy Clark stuff, you'll see Roy Clark tapping on a acoustic guitar.
Really? Okay. And just, yeah, yes. He'd probably do like harmonics and stuff that way.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's what I was, I've told several other people, you know, y'all need to really check out Roy Clark because he was a master of it way back in the 50s.
And like ultra clean.
Yeah.
Everything, no, just perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, some of the theatrics he was doing with the acoustic guitar, you know, to the crowd. I mean, he was playing to the crowd, you know.
Oh, yeah. He was and a showman.
It was just, it was just really, really impressive. It stuck in my head all these years.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's one song that is always stuck in your head?
Oh, I try not to do that. I try to because I'm always working on a song,
right? You know?
So if I work on a song and later it's the melody stuck, I feel like, okay, that's a good song. That's going somewhere.
Yeah.
So but I don't know if, I mean, that's changed throughout the years. There's been songs. There was just one, I was talking to somebody and they brought up a song and I was like, I just got that out of my head from 20 years ago. Thanks for that. Now I'm going to, you know,
my assistant.
But I don't remember what it was. I don't want to think of what it is because I'll be stuck with it again.
Well, my assistant, Julie, she gets tickled at me because we always talk on the phone in the morning trying to plan out the days and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get a song stuck in my head every freaking morning, and it's stuck there for the rest of the day.
I just thought of one.
There you go.
Remember that? No, I can't do it. I'd have to read the lyrics. It was like, it's Paul Simon. Call me Betty, call me out, or something like that. That lick gets stuck in my head.
Yeah.
That was such a... lyrics to that are insane. They're just like, I may walk this morning, you think I wonder why am I soft in the middle? Why do I do... it's like, it's just a rambling, interesting, weird thing. But that guitar lick...
Oh, Lord. You all right over here, Caitlin?
Yeah.
She's over it.
I know, right? So when's all this music releasing?
Memorial Day. And I think every 6 weeks after that, we'll make, I think it's what, it, don't quote me on that.
All right.
I think that, but Bunker and a Bridge will come out.
Right.
And then every 6 weeks, one of the newer songs.
Yeah.
So, and then the other songs are My Kind of Hero. We got one about tornadoes.
Yep.
Called Left Behind.
Well, and tell everybody while I run to the bathroom real quick.
Okay. Left Behind is what's weird about that one is we actually talked after we wrote it and said, let's not write any more storm songs because 3 months after we wrote it, the Mayfield, Kentucky tornado thing happened. It was kind of weird. But and then so we also have a song called God and the Government, as in love your country, but fear God and the government. And the last one that I haven't mentioned is probably the next single. It's called Let It Ring. And it's all about love. Like, let it ring through the mountains, let it ring through the hills, let it ring through the valley, not a soul stand still. Let the beat fill your body, let the music fill the air, let the power of love in everywhere. Because the truth is, things are going to be what they're going to be. So when you listen, listen loud, and the groove will set you free.
Yay.
You get all that? No.
That was good timing, though.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, it was really good.
I got a song for you.
What's that?
Mountain Dew, it'll run right through.
Oh, my goodness. a lot of people don't know that Mountain Dew was moonshine before it was a soda.
Yeah, and then they... Well, it's like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola used to have real cocaine in it.
Yeah.
I believe we should go back to the old ways.
Yeah, I mean, we get some things done. Get some things done then, right?
Hey, people will be happier.
Don't get me started. See, now we're going to go down the big farmer road if we don't watch it.
Hey, I've got... I can go right up, probably, I think I'm maybe 12 miles away from or something like that. There's an Amish community up there.
Oh, yeah?
I go up there and get my vegetables, get all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Bringing home snap-in beans.
Actual food.
Yeah, actual food.
What an idea. Lab-made, created meat. What is that?
I have no clue.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I'm speaking of Mountain Dew.
Speaking of Mountain Dew,
I'm still trying to find out what in the heck erythrosorbic acid or something like that.
I was about to say, don't read it.
It's disgusting. If you read the bottle, it's disgusting.
I'm drinking Dr. Pepper. It's not any better. Just needed the caffeine.
It's gross. Best thing about Coke is when you pour Jack in it, it kills all the stuff.
Right. At least that's what you tell yourself, right?
Well, sometimes you just got to go with it.
Yeah. Mountain Dew was one of the staples growing up. In my hometown, me and my best friend Mark would get Gino's Pizza, Mountain Dew, and Snyder's Barbecue Chips. Ooh. That was our typical Friday night. Now, it's hard to find Snyder's barbecue chips in Tennessee. Used to, you could get them in East Tennessee. Yeah. I have to go back to Huntington, West Virginia to find Snyder's barbecue chips. But they've changed. They were bought out, so they're pretty close.
Well, see, when I was little, I had my favorite drink back then was a drink. It come in a green bottle, and it was called Kick. Had a picture of a mule on the front of it.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it tasted a lot like Mountain Dew. Does today. I mean, I liked it better, though. I don't think they had Monosugo, whatever the crap glutamate back then.
High fructose corn syrup. That's the...
You know, that's the one thing that makes everybody obese.
It's one of them. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, got to detox. Got to detox.
Do the V-shred, man. Do the V-shred.
I'm going to be talking. I'll be talking on chlorine dioxide and pentobendazole. We'll be here all night.
I don't think we got that much time.
Yeah, I know. I'm tired.
I got to take my ass to bed soon. 3 a.m. comes early.
I got to play in the morning. Honky Talking must begin promptly at 10 a.m.
Where are you going to play at?
Playing Whiskey River in the morning.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
10 a.m. to 2.
So you play a lot around town?
A little bit. Well, I mean, anytime I'm not, I've got regular gigs in downtown when I'm not on the road.
Okay.
So Wednesday's the only one that I'm singing on in town right now.
All right.
The rest of them, I'm playing drums. I have an 80s rock band on Thursday nights at Tin Roof.
Okay.
6:30. If you ever feel like getting out, getting down to from Portland or, right? Is that where you're at, Portland?
Yeah, Portland.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm only 34 miles away from Nashville downtown. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Well, east it's like 36, so
okay.
I don't know.
Caitlin lives down there and Julie lives down there in Nashville.
Ow.
I used to live off Trinity Lane and Jones Avenue. Hated that place.
Yeah, it's a Trinity Lane, I guess. I've heard it's a rough area. I've never been down there after dark.
Well, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
It's very gentrified.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're knocking down all the old houses and building tall and skinnies in those lots. My house is next, I feel.
Probably.
It's getting to where you can't afford to be in Nashville.
You can't afford nothing right now.
Yeah.
And then I heard the credit thing went up another 3.5 the other day, and I'm just like, man, y'all just... Anyway,
I've got a t-shirt that says mean tweets and $1.87 a gallon. I mean, I'm not going to wear a shirt that says Trump on it, but that's pretty close to saying Trump.
You know, I mean, I wish people would get away from a certain saying and just pay attention to the facts of what actually happened.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of.
That'll be on the other podcast.
Yeah. What's interesting, whether no matter, you don't have to be, this is not political, this is just a fact. The Smith-Mundt Act was made, taken out of service or irrelevant. I'm not sure what the proper term would be, but Obama got rid of the Smith-Mundt Act. The Smith-Mundt Act prevented the media from lying to us, propagandizing the American public.
Right.
Used to, they'd have to, if they said something inaccurate, they'd have to print a retraction. And they would always put it like not even near visible. I think the law should be if you print a retraction, it needs to be as visible as the original headline.
Right. I feel that way because a lot of times the retraction is on page 15 and a small sub column on the far right next to the bind.
Exactly. And but the law is that they don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
And it no longer is a law. So it can be complete nonsense.
Well, see, this is where I think is helping a lot of podcasts take off.
That's right. Because nobody trusts the news anymore. You're right.
Because nobody trusts us. I mean, we like this show. This show is about the rawest you can get. I'm totally unscripted, you know, just like me and you talked earlier. You know, it's a conversation show, and we talk, about music. We talk about whatever, you know, and that's just the way it is, you know. And the only thing I hope for, like, somebody does listen to my show, I hope they had some fun. I hope they learned something and maybe brighten their day a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's all I really wanted.
So I listened to a little bit of a couple shows when they, you know, they contacted me about doing this.
I'm sorry.
What? No, it's all good. Who did you run sound for, or where did you run sound?
Oh, shoot, dude. I ran sound all over Nashville.
Okay.
A lot of it was helping out rock bands. Used to be a place called Music Row Showcase. It was right there off Music Row. And they had an LD, but I had come in there with a band, and I was running lights for the band, and the club LD liked how I did the lights.
Okay.
So whenever he needed somebody to fill in or he wasn't able to be there, he always called me. I mean, I've run lights for Tony Joe White and, which for all those people that don't know who Tony Joe White is, his biggest hit was Poke Salad Annie. Mm-hmm. You know, and, let's see. I think I was down there when Megadeth came in. Wow. I mean, there was Music Row Showcase used to be a really happening little spot right there on Broadway. I mean, not Broadway, but Music Row.
Yeah.
And we were in there one night. I was doing, I can't remember who I was doing lights for, but Hank Williams Jr. come in and sat down. You know, he had two or three people with him. They were just hanging out and listening to the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I did Bikini Beach. I did a lot of sound there.
I played the Bikini Beach quite a bit.
Did you?
We could have bumped into each other there. Yeah. My first roommate was Christy's cousin. Christy's, yeah. Barry's daughter. Barry's the owner.
Yeah.
And I played in there quite a bit. I mean, I just cut all my hair off. I had really long hair.
Yeah. Well, back then I did, I was helping Christy out and booking stuff and everything else. And we had the, it was a Labor Day weekend, and I had a couple of models in there that were taking pictures on guys' bikes,
uh-huh.
You know, and we had, a band in there that was called, oh Lord, at the time, I believe they were called C4.
Hmm. Why does that sound
weird? It was a three-piece band. Well, that's what's weird. I knew the band that was called C4 back then, but now there's a real lovable lady. She goes, she tells everybody her name is C4.
Hmm.
And she's a singer-songwriter. She's played all over Nashville.
Okay.
I did... I helped out a little bit on the sound, but I did more of light shows than I did anything else. And I did a ton of private events. I actually did, a thing for, now I can't remember the daggone veterans organization. You said it earlier. Wounded Warriors.
Okay.
I did the full production, sound, lights, everything for Wounded Warriors. They were up at the base, Fort Campbell. Went in there the night before, set everything up. And we had a full band and all kinds of stuff going on that day.
You know, earlier I said the Wounded Warriors. I don't even know if that was the exact organization that we had out the archery range.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask Matt. I just knew it was Wounded Vets, and we had a bunch of, you know, had a course set up, and we were.
Well, there's so many of them now. I mean, and I really love that, because it used to be you couldn't find nobody to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now there's all kinds of people out there.
Yeah, and it seems like most people actually want you, because I mean, there's always somebody that's trying to make money on it. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the way people are. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody got to get paid.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like most of them are truly trying to help.
Yeah,
from what I understand.
Well, there's an organization out there right now that they help out with veterans and active duty members actually too, that are having, you know, severe PTSD and all kinds of things going on. They're there to help them, and they don't charge them.
And yeah, it's
22-0, I believe is what it's called.
I've got a line in one of the songs in the new record. It's the ones who fight the wars also fight to pay the rent.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess it goes back to the way we treat our vets and the way we treat our active duty. I mean, they should be paid more.
I honestly believe that.
Yeah.
I've never figured that out. I mean, out of all my life, there was one thing I never could figure out. How in the hell can one little tiny dude that ain't ever fought any damn thing in his whole damn life give an order and send 50,000 people to go fight?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to unpack with that question.
Why don't the kings and the presidents and all that other stuff, before you act on a act of war, won't you get in a ring with whoever you're mad at and y'all duke it out first?
Well, I mean, it comes back to having people there should be there in the positions, because you do need somebody that's in a position that doesn't have to go through a bunch of red tape to make a decision. The problem is it's so corrupt. It's done for financial reasons, not for defending people that can't defend themselves, you know, which seems to be the only reason.
Remember when, was it Mel Gibson? Mel Gibson come out with that movie about flying the airplanes and how they were doing. Can't remember the name of the movie.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like Mel Gibson's. I don't remember that one either.
I can't remember the name of it, but you know, looks like everybody would have learned a lesson back then. So that was CIA funded.
Well, yeah. You're giving the human race a lot of credit when you say that. You know, one thing I did hear, and I heard Dan Bongino say this, so that's, you know, about this new movie, Civil War, as I figured it was left propaganda. People on the right are saying it's left propaganda. People on the left are saying it's right propaganda. Dan Bongino said on Monday's show that he went to the movie and he walked out not knowing who the bad guy was. He didn't feel like it was like, I mean, he said that there was things that went both directions.
Right.
You could have pointed out, which is interesting. I mean, because it's not, you know, it takes two to tango, and to not to oversimplify that. But, you know, it's someone's going to force their ideas down your throat. They're eventually someone's going to fight back. You know, I mean.
Well, I mean, that's how I was raised.
Yeah. I mean, be kind until it's not time to be kind anymore.
That's where the whole don't tread on me came from.
Yeah, the rattlesnake is a perfect example. Yeah. That people say the Gadsden flag's racist. They don't know what they're talking about. That the rattlesnake is a perfect example of something, you know, an animal that will not mess with you until you step on it almost, you know?
Oh yeah. You get close enough.
And even then it'll give you a warning. Hey, you about to get bit.
You're about to get bit hard.
Yeah. You said Megadeth a second ago. That reminded me of something. I got to tell you about this.
Oh God.
Went to a Megadeth show. You know, we were 18, 19, and they had this opening band, and we were like, we didn't have anything to do. We usually went to see the opening band. A lot of people skip the opening band back in the
day. Yeah.
We were like, whatever, you know, we were too young to drink, so we're going to go check out this band. We walked in there going, who is this no-name band, Stone Temple Pilots?
Yeah.
We walked out of there going, who's Megadeth?
Mm-hmm.
Because they killed it. And a lot of times the opening band, like I was told this, I don't know how true it is. You run sound, I was told that you can tell when the headliner, if they're scared, they're going to get shown up, if they're wusses about that, because they'll only give the opening band so much headroom.
They'll give the opening band maybe 75% sound. And they'll only give them about 65% lights.
Okay. Well, Megadeth obviously wasn't one of those bands.
Yeah.
Because they came out and they just blew us away from start to finish.
Right.
And we had, I haven't gone to see many bands that are just absolutely win me over instantly.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots is one of them.
Well, I mean, I've told the story before. I'll tell it again real quick. I went, me and a buddy of mine, we had the press box seats down there at the Bridgestone.
Okay.
And we went to see Metallica and Godsmack. And like you, usually the big boys would blow away the opening act. Usually. But let me tell you, Godsmack came out, and I think that was the first tour that they actually started doing the dueling drum kits.
I don't know much about Godsmack. I've never been into them.
Yeah.
The name always seemed a little odd to me. Like it was,
I mean,
I was probably not very open-minded about that, if I'm honest.
I appreciate the music.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my whole thing, even with, you know, modern day artists and everything else. I may not like your name or I may not like what you stand for, but if I like the music, I will listen to the music, because it's always been about the music with me. And they just, they blew Metallica away. Metallica come out and it was
not an easy task. I mean, they're a good live show.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know what they were drinking that week, but I mean, the lights were real dim. They didn't have a light show at all. And it was just, their set, their show was boring. We left halfway through Metallica.
Really?
I was disappointed. I was sadly disappointed.
When was that?
Oh, God. Around 2000, 2001, maybe.
Oh, okay. That would have been one of the Reloadeds.
Yeah, but I still love Metallica. I was disappointed that night I left.
Yeah.
And then when they come out with the album with the orchestra, I love that whole album.
Yeah, that's we went and saw the movie thing recently. I don't know, a couple of years ago now, maybe. but it was a orchestra thing. It was really, it was a cool show.
Yeah, it really was. But I loved how they put it together. I mean, they, the whole music arrangement around their music and then filling in with the orchestra was really, really good.
I'm sorry. I can't help but think of Lars pushes and pulls a lot live, and then the tempos move, and it,
yeah,
you know, the orchestra's moving with that. It was always fun, you know, like entertaining to, for the conductor to catch up, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I just remember seeing a few of those, and you know, those were always, you could hear our next pop in the theater. We'd like hear it. And we'd like, did you? Yep. Yeah. You caught that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're not doing 3/4 anymore. Come on guys. We're at 6/4. Come on.
Live music. It's, you know, used to be, you said live music. Ah, don't worry about it. As soon as you do it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Everybody's like,
you know. Oh yeah.
Like, oh, it's, now you're going to be immortalized. Your mistakes will be immortalized.
I went to a show down in Atlanta, Georgia, and seen Rammstein, because they only come to the States about every 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And went down there and seen them, and man, they just, the lights, the sound, everything, no opening act. It was just them.
Hmm.
And they put on a hell of a damn show.
But I'm not familiar with them.
No, you have to look them up. Rammstein. Rammstein.
Is that German?
Yeah, it's a German heavy metal band.
Okay.
And he doesn't sing in English. It's all German.
Okay.
Authentic stuff. But they put on a hell of a show. And it was just, I just sat there and was just amazed at how tight they were, how the lights, everything was right where it needed to be.
It was just a great show. I saw Korn in a place called the Milk Bar in Jacksonville, Florida, when I was too young to get in, because I had a fake ID.
So Korn was just starting.
Yeah, they were brand new. That first album was out.
Yeah.
And people, they were so good. People were calling the radio station, accusing them to playing to a tape. But if you knew anything about the music, you could tell that they were all there like, they do triplet, like, and then they would drag them. They would drag the tempo and make it extra cool deep in the pocket. You could tell it was live.
Yeah.
They weren't faking anything, and they were sick off the chain good. Like, they were just so good live.
Well, say that's what I've always hated, because when you're in the industry and you're doing lights and sound and all that other stuff, when you go to a concert, you can hear it. You just know.
Yeah. Yeah. When you start hearing strings and there's four guys on stage and there's no fiddle involved, then you know there's some tracks. But, yeah, everybody uses them these days, to be honest. I mean, big shows.
I hate tracks.
I do too. I mean, I've played lots of shows as a drummer with tracks. And it is fun as the performer, even though it's kind of, you know, because we were always cranked up. We weren't trying to fake that they weren't there, you know.
Right, right.
And if you use it to make the show, the music bigger as far as like supporting the body, but like, nobody's doing like solos, you know, nobody's doing like the performance part of it is done there. They're doing it like as a rhythm, like a horn or a bed of strings to make it thicker in this area. I don't know what each individual, the shows I've seen haven't been just ridiculous that there were tracks that, you know, right. What I'm saying, like, so I well, get the, it.
The only thing I think tracks should be used on, and this is just me, because if it's a solo artist and they ain't got the money yet to pay a freaking band,
yeah,
to back them, you know?
Yeah.
They're still doing the dive bar scene, you know?
What I do, like my, when I do solo, I do solo shows as far as my stuff. I've got a band tomorrow morning that are friends in, you know, that are in town.
Yeah.
But as far as like, if I'm out on the road doing a solo show, I have a looper set up. And right. I have a whole side of my looper set up that's just designed to make my guitar, it EQs my guitar when I hit it like a kick drum. So it does
That's,
and I'll loop that.
That's turned into an art form in itself.
Yeah, it took a lot to get it right, to get good at it. But I don't do anything super fancy. I'll put a rhythm track that I can play a lead over, and I'll put a drum beat, just a beat to play along to. I keep it pretty simple. Some of those, like, you know, I'm not doing any. I forget the guy's name. He just came out with his own looper. Not
everybody. Oh, there's no telling.
The guy was the. He plays stadiums, and he's that's how bad I am with names. I want to say
Edwin, on the same page.
I would say Edwin McCain, but that's not it. Edwin McCain's the "I'll be better when I'm older." Who's the guy?
I can't think
somebody
of
somebody at home sitting going there going, "It's better," and shouting his name.
Oh, yeah, somebody's right.
Oh, well, I'm not gonna remember.
I don't know.
I was thought about getting one of those loopers to tell you the truth.
Maybe somebody will leave a comment on there who it is.
Yeah, I'm expecting to get a text from somebody like, "You dummy." It's, oh, well, I'll remember his name.
That's the only reason I like doing the Facebook Live every now and then, and then YouTube Live, because people are going to leave comments and stuff and we can actually see them here.
Yeah. That's always fun. I remember during the whole scamdemic thing, we'd do live stuff and have to, it was fun doing the, when people would be watching your show and talking to them, you know, it was always fun. Not that I miss playing to a camera. That was
you preaching to the wrong choir on that one.
Yeah, I guess that's your world, though, right?
That's the whole world here.
Yeah.
Three cameras, a microphone, and Caitlin over there doing God knows what. What are you doing?
I was texting Julie, and then my nose itched, so I scratched it.
Now I think we have a full update.
We've got a full update now.
I scratched my nose.
Hey,
well, I like bent down or whatever. That's gross.
I'm subliminal on scratching
you're,
my nose.
You're all for it. I'm more subtle.
And she refuses for me to put a camera on her. You believe that?
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. You really wouldn't want one on me right now. Like,
not just scratching your nose.
Or that.
I'm just kidding.
She's got a fitness program she does and everything. And sometimes, depending on what time the show is, sometimes she just comes on up with her tank top and her whatever kind of pants those things are.
Well, I mean, I wear this all the time and it's hot out.
Oh, okay. Well,
I showered before I came here.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that.
He likes when I go for a 4-mile run and then come here right after.
No, not really.
That's
and by the door with some spray.
That could be rough.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. So you've got your stuff's coming out in, when'd you say?
May 31st, Memorial Day. May
31st.
Yeah, that's the day.
May 31st, Memorial Day. We having a bonfire at your house?
I think I'll be in Texas. Yeah, I'll be in Texas.
Are we having a bonfire in Texas?
Well, I think always. We'll be opening. I'll be opening for Billy Joe Jones, a girl on the same record label.
Oh, okay. What label are you with?
Kid Joe Records.
Kid Joe Records?
Get
Joe Records.
Yeah, they couldn't. There were one of the original guys at the label was named Joe, and no one could get him on the phone. So before when they named it, they couldn't get Joe on the phone and get Joe Records. That was where I came from.
That's actually funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's me, Billy Joe, right now, and Artemis Pyle. Artemis Pyle, the original drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Right.
They have a record out you can go get right now. That's just like fantastic. They did all the Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute with, Ronnie Dunn singing Sweet Home Alabama, Sammy Hagar singing Simple Man.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of big names, cool tracks on that. Dolly Parton's Free Bird. I don't think that's released yet, though, because she's going to release it. I don't know.
Didn't she put that on her rock album?
Yes. And that's, yeah.
I think she did.
That's the track from this record.
Yeah.
So it's Artemis Pyle's band.
Cool.
And that's the last time that, names today. Dude played the slide part for Free Bird before he passed away. No. Gary Rossington.
Yeah, I hated to see him go.
Yeah,
because dude could play.
Skynyrd is one of the most underrated bands.
I think so too.
I mean, people like give it a lot of musicians will dog certain things about it I think that's what happens when you're young and you're tired of hearing it. But if you dig into their music, it is really, I mean, the guitar solo on Freebird is, it's kind of genius. I mean,
it is. I like the way it, you have a solo and then they're like going back into the song.
They'll do a certain melody and then they'll solo. And he recorded that twice. Rossington played it twice. And he just tried to do the same exact thing. And because he's a human being, it's not a doubling effect. He played it twice.
Right.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things I tell people that when I'm talking about healing the division, people who are on the fence about the election, I'm like, you know, you don't have to dance around the fire with a whiskey bottle singing Free Bird to vote for Trump, but it's a lot of fun.
I don't care. You don't have
to be that guy, you know.
You know, everybody's got to live with their own decision and everything else, you know. Everybody's got, they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah. But well, yeah.
I don't think anybody should beat somebody else up because they voted for somebody. I think it's stupid.
No, yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, on that note, we're going to get off here, dude. Aaron, I appreciate you being on, man.
Thanks so much for having me. You okay over there, Caitlin? You're still there? Your nose all right?
I'm here.
Okay.
She's just going to shut everything down and go home, probably.
David, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate
you being on, and good luck. Everybody, please stay tuned for the May 31st Memorial Day release.
From Bunker and a Bridge.
Bunker in a Bridge. I forgot to write that part down.
That's all right.
If I don't write stuff down, man, I forget.
Me too.
All right. Well, brother, man, I appreciate you. And I'm trying to get out more downtown Nashville. So,
yeah.
I'll actually be out there among the masses, and hopefully we can catch a show with you and check you out on the stage.
Man. Well, when I'm in town, I'm at Whiskey River on Wednesdays, 10 to 2, and then I run to Legends, and I play drums for Kenny P. I don't remember him. He was a finalist on The Voice a few years back.
Okay.
Fantastic singer, but we got a great band over there. And yeah. It's a long day of playing music on Wednesdays, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun.
Nothing but fun. All right, brother, man. Well, we appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man. And take care, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. See y'all.
All right, bud. Everybody, please remember to like, share, follow, subscribe. It helps us all. And I think everybody ought to get together and just have a big group hug. Right when I said that, my phone beeps. You know what that means. Probably Julie going, get off the freaking.
It is. That's why I touched the thing.
Yeah, that's where she is. Christy Krause just texted me too. Or no, it's on her Instagram. But anyway, all right, y'all. We appreciate it. And we are going to try and do some more live stuff here and there. And when we're live, y'all can ask questions, leave comments. Caitlin will see them. She'll read them. If they're good.
Yeah, there's only three.
Yeah.
Probably there weren't questions.
Yeah, it was probably just highs and all that other stuff. But we're going to get it all worked out. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I hope everybody loves the new logo like I do. Ali Visuals knocked it out of the park. The photographs that are on there were taken by Bo Knows Photos. Great young man and a hell of a photographer. So y'all check all of it out and we're going to get out of here and I'm out of Mountain Dew. I got to get another one. Caitlin brought me one. So, all right, we're out of here. Love y'all. Mean it. See ya. Bye.